for the sermon is the gospel reading from St. John. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Here ends the text. Since the 1972 break-in of the Watergate office complex by Republicans to get Democrat campaign information, every political scandal ends in gate. There are literally too many to mention here. Ironically, these scandals never have anything to do with a gate. Sheepgate is not a political but a theological scandal, and it does have to do with a gate. Let's start with the sheep part. This is what Jesus says sheep do. I'm quoting, "The sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. His sheep follow him. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him." These are all present indicatives, which means they indicate what sheep do. They don't indicate what sheep will, might, or can do, but what they actually do. Jesus does not say sheep will listen to the shepherd's voice. He doesn't say sheep might follow him. Jesus doesn't say sheep can never follow a stranger and can run away, but that the sheep do all three things without fail. Ask yourself, be honest now, is that what you do? Do you listen to the Good Shepherd's voice? He uses my vocal cords in every divine service, every Bible class, every newsletter article, every catechism class. Find that hard to believe? Read Luke 10:16. Jesus says, "He who hears you hears me." And Jesus did not say that to the apostles, but to the first 70 pastors. Still find that hard to believe? In the early history of our church body, you would not have. The pulpit pyramid and sometimes the very front wall of the church were engraved in big letters with Jesus' words, "He who hears you hears me." Some of you skew not toward the priesthood of all believers, a biblical doctrine, but to every man his own priest. Some of you skew not toward the Bible is the only standard for all teaching, a biblical doctrine, but the unbiblical right of private interpretation. So you find a flesh and blood sinner like myself as a mouthpiece of the invisible holy God a bit of a stretch. So, you stay away from sermons and Bible classes, but you listen to his voice in the Word. Is that true? There is an explosion of biblical apps for smartphones, iPads, and laptops. The majority of you literally have the Bible at your fingertips 24 hours a day to read or to hear. Do you? Jesus says sheep do. Jesus also says sheep follow him. Most of you follow your GPS, your navigation system, or your smartphone more religiously than you do your Good Shepherd. Where my generation didn't leave home without American Express, you don't leave home without GPS. It says turn here, you turn. It says turn around, and you do. Can you honestly say you follow the Good Shepherd with anything approaching such complete obedience? Jesus leads you to where his word is preached, proclaimed, taught, sung, prayed, and do you turn here Or do you turn around to get here? Do you follow the Good Shepherd as he directs you to the font? Or is baptism just simple water only and not worth following Jesus to? Do you follow the Good Shepherd when he leads you with your burden of sin to absolution? Or do you follow the world's way of dealing with things that bother your conscience? When harassed by doubt, worry, fear, sins, do you follow the Good Shepherd to the table that he has prepared for you in the presence of your enemies? Or do you ignore the turnaround of the Good Shepherd, which you seldom ignore from the GPS? Jesus says, sheep don't. Jesus also says, sheep don't follow strangers, but run away from them. Do you know the difference between the voice of the stranger and your shepherd? Do you think as long as you're in church somewhere, hearing someone saying something, that you're a sheep? Jesus plainly tells you that there are thieves and robbers out there, and while you protect yourself religiously against those who would steal and rob you of your physical possessions, do you do anything at all to defend against those who would steal and rob you of your salvation? Do you flee the stranger's voice? How can you if you don't know the difference between it and the shepherd? What's more, Jesus says the strangers are not there merely to steal, but to kill and to eternally destroy. Do you believe that? Jesus says sheep do. Do you see the sheepgate scandal? It's not that people don't do what the Good Shepherd says sheep do without fail. No, it's people claim to be sheep, even though they don't hear his voice, do not follow him, and do follow strangers. The political gates have this in common. They have nothing to do with real gates and everything to do with people pretending to be keeping the people's trust while knowingly violating it. Sheepgate is about people claiming to have entered the gate Jesus by trusting his words and directions, but really, they're following their own opinion or the words of strangers. So, what's the answer? Flip on the smartphone and read a Bible passage a day? Excuse the fact that you don't follow the shepherd to font, pulpit, or altar because you have Jesus in your heart. And that's what really matters. Tell yourself that it's not your fault if that pastor you're listening to is saying something different from the Good Shepherd. Has anyone in all of the gates that you've heard of over the last 40-odd years ever got out of them by trying harder or making excuses? No. The only one who ever got out was President Nixon. And how did he get out of Watergate? He resigned. August 8, 1974, like Kennedy's assassination and the first man on the moon, is etched on every baby boomer's mind. Nixon resigned as president of the United States that day. He resigned from the highest, most powerful, most respected position in the entire world. And I'm telling you to resign something even greater and harder to give up. Nixon presided over a country. You rule your world. Nixon gave up an office. You need to give up yourself. Nixon knew he would not die when he gave up the presidency. Your old Adam, your sinful nature, knows it will die when you step down from the throne of your life. Resign, I say, as the psalmist did in the longest psalm of the Bible, in the very last verse of it. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Yes, admit that you're a lost sheep. Admit that you have not listened to your shepherd's voice, but to the siren song of your own ideas or the trending views of the world. Confess that you have not followed the shepherd to the font, to the pulpit, or to the altar because you didn't see what those very ordinary, weak-looking things could do for you. Admit that you pay more attention to your GPS than you do to your good shepherd. Confess that you've gone astray by listening to other voices calling you from far away. But like Hotel California says, you know they've called you to captivity, not to release. Confess that you've gone astray like a lost sheep is the first part. But for your sake, don't stop here. The man who buries himself in a bottle, he stops here. The woman who buries herself under a load of guilt and self-loathing stops here. The second part of confession is that after we confess our sins, we receive the absolution. Jesus is seeking you right now to do that to and for you. Jesus seeks sheep like the dying Stephen sought his murderers by interceding on their behalf. Their very last words of Stephen, dying with broken bones, a bloody face, and a body that never would heal in this life, his very last words were, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Surely, if a sheep of the shepherd can forgive those who have confessed nothing and are still in the midst of murdering him, the shepherd himself then can absolve more and even more freely. Don't hold the fact that they haven't even listened to this sermon against them, Jesus says. Don't hold the fact that they can't even follow me 2 weeks in a row to this altar against them, says Jesus. Don't hold the fact that they think anyone in the front of the church is speaking the Good Shepherd's words. Don't hold that against them. How can Jesus say this? For the same reason Stephen could. Jesus came into the world as the Lamb of God carrying away the sins of the world. He carried every sin you can name. He carried every sin your enemies can name. He carried every sin the devil can name, and even the ones you can't or won't name. The Lamb of God carrying them away from you, and last week Peter told you what the result was. He assured us that we had been redeemed, bought back by someone else paying a price. And what did Peter say that price paid was? The precious blood of a lamb without blemish or defect. We want to, or think we can, pay for our own sins. All that is colloquially called beating yourself up, all the little ways we try to punish ourselves, all of our trying to better, they don't mean squat. Why? Because we're too full of blemishes and defects. We have too many pimples and we are too deformed, but not Jesus. His blood was pimple and deformity free. It was so thick with grace, so rich with forgiveness, it covered not just your sins, but the sins of the world. But don't stop with what Peter said last week. Go on to what he says this week. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Isn't that the truth? Where did we begin this service? We follow Jesus to the font by remembering our baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But that wasn't far enough. We weren't far enough through the gate yet. No, we followed our good shepherd to absolution, where we heard God speaking from heaven through the voice of a man, "I forgive you." You might not forgive yourself. Others might not forgive you. That doesn't matter. The Almighty God does for Jesus' sake. Sheep go by the voice of their shepherd, not by the voice of strangers or even their own. Think we're done? Not hardly. We began hearing the voice of our shepherd in baptism and we followed him to absolution. But we are sheep who love to wander and we need to be brought all the way through the gate. So we end gathered around the body and blood of the Lamb of God that carried away the sins of the world. We eat and drink the shepherd of our souls. Sheep gate ends when the sheep are resigned to re-enter the gate that is also the shepherd, who is also the lamb that shepherds them by means of water, words, wine, and bread. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.